Hey everyone, welcome to Youngstown Studios. We do Recover Show. I'm here with my new co-host.
Yeah, I am the new co-host.
And she has her sound bar. She was excited about this all week long.
Yeah.
She's like, I got to get a sound bar. I need to applaud people. I need to boo people. So here it is. Get ready. Again, today, guys, we are going to have we had our guest speaker today had to cancel. He had to go to Las Vegas.
That's okay, because we always have a backup plan.
That's it.
You got to have a backup plan.
That's it. So Kelly Pavlik will be in with us, but he's not. He couldn't come in today. But today we're going to do a question and answer time. So if you need to hear about a question, you think a question could save somebody that they need to hear about it, call in and let's answer questions today.
The number is on your screen.
The number is 330-595-1600. Again, that's 330-595-1600. I had questions from, so I work at a recovery center and I had some of my guys
start us out with some questions
okay. that they wanted to hear about. And I will ask them and we'll both share about them until we start getting some callers in.
Guys, pick up the phone and call in. It's a Q&A day.
So we had Anthony G call asked me today. He was like, how do I deal with family members that use in the same house when I'm trying to recover?
Whoa. Wait, I got something for that. Hold on.
No. She's on one today.
So
how do you deal with family members in the same house when you're trying to recover?
Here's the thing, though. Do you have to go to that household?
Right.
You know, like, can you get to a sober living house?
Well, they're talking about family members. So, like, you know, obviously in recovery, you got to be selfish in your recovery, right?
Well, you do. But what's also, I think, means
who's paying
people,
the bills,
places and things, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm around the same people and I go to the same places and I, you know, I'm going to get the same things.
Right.
That's like,
and if you expect different things, that's the definition of insanity, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. So, or it's like, I know what the outcome's going to be, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's also the definition of insanity.
So what would you say to them? I mean, so you're trying to recover.
Do you have to live there?
Right.
I mean, is there no way out? You know, I just don't see how that works because it's super difficult, especially in the beginning.
Right.
I think, like you said, you got to be selfish. So go somewhere else. You shouldn't be staying there. If that's your home, go to sober living. There's houses in the area that you can go to so that you're not around that because, having a bad day and being in a household with someone that's using, it's so much easier for that person to pull you down than for you to pull them up.
Right.
You know, they always have that thing where you, like, if you stand on the chair and you're like, okay, you try and pull this person up and they try and pull you down, who's going to win? You're going to get pulled down.
Yeah.
So, like, if you don't have to live there, which I tend to believe, like, you don't have to.
No, you definitely don't have to. There's other resources in that.
Yeah.
Anthony, that was a good question.
Absolutely.
Definitely a good question. And you got to separate your sobriety to your own sobriety. You can't hang around the same people expecting different outcomes. So you have to remove yourself from that situation, especially early on in your recovery.
Yeah.
We had another one from Sean. Sean said, how do I find a sponsor that suits my needs? Wow.
I got something for you.
There you go. Go ahead.
I mean, you just have to look for somebody that has something that you want, whatever that is. I don't know what your needs are. You know what your needs are.
Right.
So you might get with somebody that has what you want, and then it might change.
Yeah.
And then you might have to get with somebody else, and they might get you so far, and then you got to change again.
You got to put yourself out there in order to find the right person. And for me, I don't know if it was for you, but the first couple people didn't work for me. You know what I mean? I had to keep switching, but I had to keep introducing myself. I had to get vulnerable and introduce myself to people, get phone numbers, get the support group, find that certain person that you could trust with those secrets, with those vulnerable things that you didn't want to talk about, but you have to get out in order to recover.
Right. And when you're talking about your needs, like when you, when I first started coming around, what my needs were changed compared to what they are now.
Right.
You know, so I had to like continue to change that because again, when I first started, I just wanted to know how to stop using. And then I was like, oh, you drive a new car. How can I get that? Oh, you come in here with some name brand purse and shoes. How can I get that? So like things have changed, in the process. So real quick, we do have a caller.
Let's go.
So we're going to We're going to tune in and see. Hey, caller, you're on. Who is this? What do you got for us?
Sean Russell.
Hey, Sean.
Sean, what's up, buddy?
None. Hey, I'm a little early in my recovery, and NA isn't what got me to where I'm at right now. And sometimes I don't know if people want to hear, like, my higher power or whatever got me there. So maybe a little advice on how to deal with, you know, I don't know if people want to hear my story or being honest. I mean, I believe I've been delivered by Jesus.
Okay.
Where do I go with that?
Good question. Thank you, Sean. I personally feel like, you know, that's your story.
Yeah.
Right? You'll never be ashamed of your story. There's nothing wrong with what got you into recovery and how you got here and how you stay here. Don't ever be ashamed of it. Don't be afraid to tell it like it is.
Right.
Because other people are going to be able to relate to you regardless.
Right.
You know, there's going to be people that don't want to hear that that's how it happened for you, because that's not how it happened for them. And that's okay, because there's going to be the other side of that where there's going to be people that are like, that's exactly what happened for me.
Right.
So I need to hear that too, so that I know that, like, I'm not the only one.
Yeah. Your story is going to save somebody. Like I said, everybody has a different story. Everybody's going to have that same story. They're going to connect with somebody, and your story is going to save somebody. So I would never hinder your story by worrying about what other people think. You know, if God got you there, you know what I mean? He'll get you through it. So, and I would share that experience, strength, and hope, especially to other people.
Yeah, for sure. And don't be ashamed of it, because, you know, somebody always shares your story. So, like, your story could be what gets somebody else that, like, I want to do it like that. I'm going to do that. That was my story. That's how that happened for me. So that's all.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Sean.
Thanks, Sean. I'll see you tonight, bro.
All right. Yep.
All right, what else you got over there, husband?
Okay, so we got Mike. Mike wanted a shout-out. He put it real big next to his name. He's
Mike
from Youngstown.
Mike, we're going to give you a shout-out. Here you go. You ready? Crickets.
He asks, do you believe that spirituality is the key to recovery? I, for one, and I firmly believe that. We always talk about getting to a spiritual awakening and being able to reach out to a power greater than yourself to restore you back to sanity. And that was, for me, was my spirituality. We talk about even going through this process, it's always working in your mind, body, and spirit in order to recover.
Yeah.
What are you doing for your mind today? What are you doing for your body today? What are you doing for your spirit today? And for me, I always concentrate on my spirit first, and then I go to my other two things, and I put them in check every day. Definitely spirituality is the key into recovery.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about, like, acceptance and, surrender.
Yeah.
Right. You have to have those in order to stay in position, right? Mm-hmm. Surrendering, knowing that I have this issue and I need to, reach out for help. And when I get the help, I need to say yes and take the help.
Yeah.
And not, you know, try to do it how I want to do it. And the acceptance part is really the answer to all of our problems, you know. Acceptance, it's like, it sounds so simple, but sometimes it's very difficult to get that part of it. So I feel like acceptance, surrender, spiritual, I feel like that all ties in. You know, you have to have an open mind. You can't, they say you can't, you know, graft a new idea on a closed mind.
Right.
You have to be open-minded. You have to be willing to step in and do whatever it takes necessary to stay in the process. You know,
right.
I don't think that it's like one little thing. It's like a combination of everything and putting it all together and continuing to have it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some days my willingness is higher on, you know, today my willingness might be a 10 out of 10 and tomorrow might only be an 8 out of 10, but my surrender might be there, or some, you know, my reaching out, my support group. There's all of these things that play into it. And don't forget, you know, recovery is like building a new life, right? A new life where it's not necessary for you to have to cover up things and go out and take yourself outside of you.
Right.
So that was a good question.
Yes.
And you got your shout out.
Hey.
So you're good. You're good.
That's it.
Yeah.
We had another question from the guys at the Palms. Is it, it's let me see. Is addiction a problem with the spirit or the body or both?
So addiction is classified as a disease, right? It's classified as a disease because it's the three things that make it a disease. It's incurable.
Yep.
It's fatal. And what's the third one? Let me think for a second. There's three. And that's how it gets classified as a disease. So it's incurable. It can be fatal. And I'll think of it. And it might be in like two questions later. I might think about it, but it'll come back to me. So what was the question again? Read it to me again.
Is addiction a problem with the spirit or the body or both?
So, you know, it's classified as a disease. It lays in your mind.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily know, you know, the answer to that question. I could say for me, I know that mine's up here in between my two ears. Yeah. It's a voice that talks to me. It tells me things. It tells me there's a right way to do the wrong thing. It is constantly trying to find a way to like corner me to do something that I'm not supposed to be doing so that I can get back to it.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, the devil could come in and you know, use anger, you know, anger is like the foothold for the devil, right? So that I can act out and I could start and then like little things and take me out of character. And now I'm embarrassed and ashamed and it'll just keep pushing me back into a corner.
Right.
So go ahead.
Yeah. So with, with this one for me, it was, you know, drugs and alcohol wasn't my problem. It was my solution.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you talk about body, it was a body thing until I got through, you know, my first period of my detox and all that stuff. Mm. Then it really became a spirit thing. Am I willing to do this? Am I willing to give up my self-will in order to do this process, right? So I would believe it's a mixture of both. I mean, yeah, it does take a lot of courage and stuff with your body, your aches and pains when you come through addiction and you get clean and all that stuff. It is a body thing, you know, mind over matter sort of deal. Your body's going through it, but it has a lot to do with your spirit. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Are you ready to get clean? You know what I mean? Are you, are you ready is the question.
That's
you know what I mean? You got to find your why. Mm-hmm. You know, why am I going to do this? And it'll pull you through all that.
Progression. That was the third one.
There you go.
See, I knew it was going to come to me. Incurable, fatal, and it's progressive. So we do have a caller. So let's see. What do we have? Hey, caller, you're on live.
Oh, hey, Mrs. Hill.
Oh, hey, Sean.
What's up, Sean?
What's up, Dadaya?
What's up, Sean? How you doing, bro?
I'm well, man. You know, just getting ready to hit this meeting. So I had a question for you guys.
Run it.
So I need to know, what was something essential that you learned in early recovery that you still practice today in your recovery?
Mm.
Ooh, I got it. You like that? I think that, hey, Sean, let me hear your answer to the question.
Ooh, something that I honestly would say that I did early in recovery, and I was guarded around people that were also trying to do what I was trying to do, that were trying to work a program.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's contagious. Because if you're around good people, you're going to do good things.
Right.
For sure.
And that was something that was essential for me. And if you're no longer, because you outgrow people. So if you weren't trying, you know what I mean, program, we had to separate.
Right.
That's why, like, your support group is like sometimes changes.
Right.
People come in, people go out, people move along because, like you said, if you're not growing with me on the same path, sometimes we.
And that's okay. That's okay. You know what I mean? It might be okay for you to have the same support group today, but tomorrow it might need to be different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you want to, I suggest, like I said, even last night, I shared last night and we talked about it. Check your support group. If the people in your support group don't have something that you want, you need a new support group. You know what I mean? You need to surround yourself around people that are going places or doing things that you inspire to do one day. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, for something, like you said, the question was something that I did early on in my recovery that I still do today is I stay I stay humble in this process, right? Okay. I stay humble and open-mindedness through this whole process. And I never want to get too confident in here. You know what I mean? The two words I always hate to hear is I got this. You know what I mean? Because we always say this is a we thing. You know what I mean? You can't do this by yourself. And I stay uncomfortable because the minute I get comfortable is the minute I start messing up. You know what I mean?
And you can keep growing.
Right.
When you're uncomfortable, that's where like growth moments happen. I think for me, is the support group.
Yeah.
You know, I was taught really early on that I needed to have a support group, but that I actually reached out to and made phone calls to and kept in touch with, and I stayed honest with them. So no matter what was going on, whether it was good or bad, I was telling them. So, and now I have this solid support group of people, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to even saying, like, you know, I got four people that are trying to, can I get your 8 a.m. spot? Can I talk to you at 8 a.m.? And I'm like, no, I'm already booked, you know, but it's so important to me. It's crucial. Like, I need that connection. Even now, just having a baby, you know, I'll be at home going crazy if I didn't have people to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Junior could just sleep through anything. Cause I'm loud and I'm on FaceTime with one friend and then the next friend and then the next friend, you know, and we may not always be talking about recovery, but they do know if something's wrong,
yeah.
You know, they can tell, or if somebody calls, you know, we do that little text. Are you good? Sean tends to do, you don't know if I'm okay or not. If I don't respond and I'm like, well, because you sent me that, I know you're okay.
Right.
You know? So it's like, it's like that was super important, and it kind of goes into what you said, Sean, about the, you know, getting around people and staying around them and doing what they're doing and learning from them and growing together, and then it becomes like this family that I didn't even know I wanted.
Right.
You know? So.
Thank you, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Appreciate you calling in.
Appreciate you, buddy. Have a good one.
I love you guys.
Love you.
Love you too, bro.
Someone else. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Bye.
What's up, Marcus McFoling? Say hi, Abed. What's up, man? Feel free to message some questions that you need to hear about, guys. Either one of you, just share what's on your heart. Let us answer those questions for you, or maybe someone else out there needs to hear about them. We got another question from the guys at the Palms. I wanted to know if I'm new to the area, Youngstown. Where would be a good place to find a good support group?
Well,
so he's new to recovery. He's new to Youngstown, and he doesn't want to hang around the same people, the same things that he was doing. So he wants to find that good support group.
You know what's like really difficult right now is the pandemic is going on.
Yeah.
So it's super difficult. It really is, in all sincerity. You know, my heart goes out to people just getting in this process because it's a lot more difficult now than it was when I got here because there's just not as much interaction and love and stuff going on. So it is really difficult. But there are resources. I'm sure, you know, that he can get to some 12-step meetings and meet some people. You have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to ask for phone numbers. But when you get the phone number, you actually have to call the person.
Right,
you know what I mean? I always say that, like, if it was the dope man and you didn't know him, but so-and-so, you know, whatever, and so you got his number, I guarantee you'd call him.
Right.
I guarantee you'd call him, and you'd call him quick. So, like, don't have a problem reaching out to people and building some type of support group with the people that are available to you. You know, if you can get out of town, see what things are going on. I'm sure
recovery night's a great night to come. I mean, you talk about we have hundreds of people there that are all wanting the same thing. They want to recover over some addiction that's going on in their life. And there's people there even that aren't going through addiction. They just want to be there for
support.
You and love upon you and support you. So I suggest, like, when you go to places like these things, it's okay to share numbers. even with a guy share a number.
Guys should stick with guys.
It's not
women
a weird
should
thing.
Stick with women.
Yeah, it's not a weird thing. Reach out, and that's how you get your support group.
Yeah.
And not every number you get is someone you're going to call every day, but at least call them once, you know what I mean, to see if it works out for you. You know what I mean?
And that's a good point. Like the recovery night.
Yes.
Because there's so many people there.
Right.
That like, just get some numbers.
Right.
If you're really looking for some type of support, whatever, and you just see someone, talk to them for a minute or two.
Yeah.
And if you're like, okay, cool, get their number. If you call them and you don't like them, then you don't have to keep calling them.
Yeah.
If you call them and they don't feed your spirit what you want it fed, mm-hmm. then you don't have to keep calling them. But the more, you know, numbers that you have, the better chance you have of building some type of solid support
group. Right. And then the next recovery night is March 5th at 7:00, 7580 Glenwood Avenue at Bridge of Hope Church. Definitely come out, guys. It's so powerful.
Amazing.
Yeah.
If you guys have not been coming, you are literally, hold on, I got something for you. If you haven't been coming, y'all's missing out. I'm telling you right now,
you
guys are really missing out. It is get your spirit fed, get your spirit lifted, get your mind right, come in there, get your soul recharged.
That's
you know
it.
What I mean?
Yeah.
What else you need?
Yeah.
Get some phone numbers. Now you could get some phone numbers.
Yeah.
Get a Jesus pack. Get whatever.
Right. Come on in.
You got to get there, though.
Everybody's welcome.
Everybody's
and that's the thing.
Welcome.
I can't stress that enough. Everybody is welcome, from the addict to the family of the addict to people who just want to come in and leave it there. Things they're going through in their life that they feel like they can't get through by themselves. Come there. I promise you'll find a new way of life. You will not leave the same. I can guarantee
right.
you that.
And the addiction part, you know, it's not just recovering from drugs. You know, you could be a food addict. You could be a gambling addict. You could be, I mean, it's whatever.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the spectrum is broad.
Yeah.
I know even for me, just saying, you know, that I'm a recovering addict because of the other areas of my life as well. You know, I was huge at one point, right? So I was extremely big, and people know I have a keto page, and I just want to help people, right? Whatever it is. Cause I know what that feels like too, to be the big girl. I don't, you know, I never want to be that again. So that's why after I had this baby, I was like, let me jump back on, you know, let me get back right. You know, I had gained 45 pounds. That's a lot. Gain for having this baby.
Look at that baby size. I mean, come on now.
He's a big
proper
baby.
Breeding.
Yeah, he's a big baby. But like, I just want to help people. So whether it's empowering women to feel beautiful and look beautiful, if you need help, go to the Keto Plug.
Yeah.
We'll help you with that.
Why be a 9 when you could be a 10? Let's go.
If you need help with just whatever, getting your spirit fed, come there. Reach out. We'll answer the phone. We'll message you back.
Yeah.
We post things where we pray for people, you know, and we'll send you prayers your way. Whatever it is, we just want people to feel better and feel good and love yourself. Because we know what it's like to be at the bottom. We know how that feels.
Yeah, even Abed just said about Recovery Night 6, literally the best, most open-minded recovery night. All races, all religions, all sex. Come.
Come on.
Let's go.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know what?
Okay, Abed.
We like that comment.
Right. Yeah, so if we have any callers out there that want to call in and need to ask a question, need to hear about a question.
Or a question that you think someone else would need to hear about.
Call in 330-595-1600.
We got a caller. It says that they're in screening, so I'm going to just try and intercept them out of screening. And see
go ahead, let's try it. Don't be shy, give it a try.
I don't know what happens, but hey, caller, you're on.
Am I on right now?
Yes.
You sure are.
Oh, hi. Hey, Jeb, what's going on?
Hi.
What's up? Who is this?
Jim Russell.
Oh, what's up, Jim? How you doing, brother?
Good, man. How are you?
Hi, Jim.
Doing great. What do you need to hear about today, brother?
Hi. I wanted to know, you know, I am on my endeavor, and I wanted to know, is it still a daily fight, a daily struggle still to this day, you know, with addiction, with the demons in your head, and not too much demons, but, you know, the thoughts entering your head, you know, daily.
I want to ask, can I ask you a question? How long have you been in this process for? What's your...
I would say probably 30 days.
Okay. If you didn't mind, I just wanted to, I just wanted to know.
So,
no, that's fine.
Yeah. So the desire of using does stop, believe it or not, the desire of using does stop. And I know you talk about demons and that, but like, as we go through this process, it's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. Every day you got to put it in check every day.
Yeah.
And then when it does, when the desire of using stops, we say new levels brings new devils. You know what I mean? So you have to fight and stay with that spiritual side. Every day, you know what I mean? Every day you got to arm yourself for that day. You know what I mean? And you got to wake up the next day and do the same thing and do the same thing. That's the only way that I've been able to myself stay clean for, you know, 26 months now, is because every day I put myself in check. I get Jed out of the driver's seat. I lock him in the trunk. I put God in the driver's seat. I reach out to him and then I start my day.
While you're in the trunk, you're like, just let me know when we get there.
Leave me in the
trunk. Don't worry about me. I'll be back here. Just let me know when we get there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it.
And this is the other thing too. Like, you know, the longer that I stay in this process, the voice gets like quieter and quieter and quieter. Right. Because my recovery is getting louder. God gets louder. Right. So there's things that like come over that. But I know if I don't stay in this process and I don't do what I need to do on a daily basis, which could be anything, right?
Right.
It could be reaching out to someone. Well, I don't have a problem with that, because if I'm not calling them, they're calling me.
Right.
So I'm staying connected with people that are doing stuff that I want to be doing anyway.
Right.
So it keeps me really connected. But it's not like, you know, the things that I was doing in the very beginning, I'm still doing now, just not as extensive, if that makes sense. Because the longer I've stayed here, the more of a life I've built. So I have other responsibilities and other things come along. And the whole goal was to become a productive member of society who doesn't need to use drugs to survive.
Right.
Who doesn't need to use drugs to get through the day. So like the goal has been, you know, reached. However, I know that if I don't keep doing what I'm doing, because it's been working, so why would I throw a wrench in it and switch it up?
Right.
You know, why would I do that? I would just, you know, that. So I just keep doing the things I'm doing, but it gets so much easier.
It does.
It gets so much easier. And like blessings start happening and beautiful things start happening in your life. And then you're like, who am I? And where did this come from? And you know, because when you get here, I know like an addict, you're like, okay, my credit's shot. I have a huge gap in my work history. Who's going to hire me? Where am I getting a car? Where am I supposed to live? Nobody wants to even give me an interview. No one wants to give me a shot. So you have all of these things working against you. And the longer that you stay in this process, you start to like gain things back and beautiful, beautiful things start to happen.
But that desire does leave you, as long as you're, it's an everyday thing. It's an everyday battle though.
And the thought might come in.
Right.
Thought might come into use, but the only difference now is like I don't feed into it because I don't have a craving to do it, and I don't get obsessive about it. I'm just like, who said that?
Yeah.
Or, you know, thanks for sharing, and then that's it. So, just stay in this process, and then you'll see. Then you can tell someone.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. I will.
Thanks for
brother.
Calling in.
Well, Jed, you are an inspiration, man. I'm proud of you, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you, man.
All right, man. Bye.
What else you got over there?
Okay, we got another question from...
I see two. This was a good one. Jeremiah said to... This goes back to the first question.
Okay.
I'm on a different thing than you, because I'm seeing different comments.
Yeah.
But Jeremiah said, lead by example for your family, which is so true.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes if they see what you're doing... And they see that it's working for you,
right.
Then they're like, let me do that. However, you might not want to do it from the same household.
Right.
You might want to do it from
across
the way.
Yeah, that goes back to the very first question we had.
Yeah, I just saw
that. How do I deal with my family members that use in the same household and I'm early on in my recovery? That's a great one.
Yeah, and if you're leading by example, you just don't want to do it maybe right in the same household.
Right.
But if they're like, hey, he hasn't come back here and he ain't trying to use and he hasn't been arrested lately and it looked like he got a new outfit on and it looked like, you know what I mean? He's doing this and I saw him and he was eating and he looked like he put a little weight on and stuff. That's, you know,
the law of attraction. People are attracted to people that are doing good things.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, for sure. That's a given.
We got another questions over there on yours?
No, I don't have any more. You got any more over there?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So we have another question from the guys at the Palms. Is a higher power key to sobriety? These guys are stuck in the higher power thing at the Palms. I don't know. Maybe
they get real in.
They do.
They're in there.
I'll be waking them up every Sunday, get them to church. You know, you don't have a choice. You know, go to church or I'll pack your things. No, I'm joking. Wow. Is a relationship with a higher power key to sobriety? You start us off with this one.
So this is the thing. For me, I'm going to say yes. Mm-hmm. For me. But I'm also going to say that... higher power, however we want to call it, to me, it's God. I refer to him as God because that's who I serve. Right. So I refer to it as that. I said this before, God doesn't care about being anonymous. So yeah. I'm just going to put it out there like that because that's who it is. But I don't see, for me, how I could get to where I'm at without him. I just don't see it, so that's why I think it is super important. I love that, we go to Bridge of Hope Church and Bridge of Hope Church brings a bus before my husband and all these people were going out and picking these guys up and the church stepped up and they got a bus together and now we got the Hope bus and they pick guys up and these guys are coming because they're searching for that because there's this spiritual void that's in you and you could keep trying to stuff things in it and put things in there but nothing fits right and every time I put something else in there it makes the hole bigger. So like the whole time that's going on I'm like, what is it that I need? And the only thing I found that ever fits in that piece is God.
Amen.
That's the only thing I've ever found that fits in that piece. My support group is God-centered. That's what we're searching for. That's what we're all looking for. We're all on that same path because when I'm with him, anything can happen. I already know because I am the miracle. I already see it. I already know. So I just stay in position. So I think it's absolutely critical that that you have a God that you're serving.
And if you're looking for a place that you're looking for the God experience, right?
Yeah.
I know people are looking for that. I know I was. I'm telling you right now, we are in a revival at Bridge of Hopes.
I'm telling you right now,
Sunday, come 10:30, 7580 Glenwood Avenue. If you have kids, there's kids classes, there's teen classes, just come. I mean, the praise and worship alone got me to be a member. That was it. Rocked it out.
True.
And then you get Pastor Doug in there just laying it down, fire, hitting home runs. Man, you talk about just being used as God as a mouthpiece. That's just exactly what's going on. If you are looking for that God experience, just come to Bridge of Hope.
Come. We'll be there.
Yes.
We love it. And we have a caller on the line. So let's see here. Hey, brother-in-law.
Hey, sister-in-law.
What's up,
twin skin?
Not much, roommate. Hey, I had a question. And how you have people ask you about the show, I've had people ask me, and it's something that I've always wondered. So a lot of the times people get into addiction, whether it be drugs, gambling, pornography, you name it. They get an addiction a lot of times to mask the pain from something, okay? What would you say to somebody who's ashamed to admit the problem, why they're in, or in denial of the problem that helped start their addiction? Because I know admitting the problem or finding out the problem or saying it out loud helps with the recovery process. What would you say to somebody who's so ashamed of the reason they're in that addiction, whether it be divorce, something after their childhood? What would you say to them about being open about that pain?
For sure. And it is really critical to come to terms with things of your past, because not everybody has that experience where it was something super jarring that happened. But for those that do, there's other options too. Some people have to seek outside counseling. Some people, it takes them a really long time to get to that point where they're comfortable sharing it with one person, let alone, with a group of people.
Right.
But I do feel like that you can't continue to like stuff things, because that's what we do. So like things happen and then you stuff them down, and then things happen and you stuff them down, and things happen. And so that's
pain
why they
shared
say
is pain lesson. Yes. That's what it comes down to.
Yes.
Bottom line,
and
to harbor all that.
Keep us sick.
Yeah.
So you
come
have
on.
To like get that out, and it's like an onion. You know what I mean? And so there's like layers and layers, and so what comes out the first time around, or your first however long that you know that you're in this process, might not be everything, but if you're praying about it, it's whatever God knows that you need to get out.
God will convict you of what he wants you to get rid of.
Yes.
I feel that. I'm a firm believer in that. And it comes about a conviction. And God has no problem convicting people. I'm telling you that right now. He's convicted me about literally everything. I have nothing to hide these days. You talk about bringing everything to the light. Everything's to the light. But there's no peace. There's no peace like I have today, because everything is in the light. Like, I have nothing to hide anymore. So it really is a peace in its own. And it took a while to get there. You know, it didn't happen overnight. It took a lot of pain. It took a lot of sharing. It took a lot of courage. Mm-hmm. But to get it all out there, there's no better feeling. So,
that'll come when it's supposed to come. Because people don't usually just start out and they're like, this happened. Sometimes there's been so many traumatic things that people don't even identify them, or they don't even know exactly some things, you know?
Right.
So it just, but it is really important, obviously, in order to get to the other side, in order to come out that. So thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Naya.
All right. Good job, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Love you, bro.
Bye-bye.
We have another question typed in. So, what do I do? It says, what do I do if I'm in a relationship and I do not want to be in this relationship? Because when I was using it, it seemed like a good relationship. Now that I'm clean, it doesn't seem so great.
Who typed that question in? hopefully their significant other ain't watching the show.
So, I'm not even going to share who said that. So, I'm just going to go with that question. You know, we are different people when we use. That's
absolutely.
The bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely.
And coming
You're
to
not even like a person.
Yeah.
You're like literally like non-human.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I'm talking about me. Whenever I say things, guys, I'm talking about me. So if it doesn't pertain to you, that's fine. But I'm like legit scumball, like not even human. I mean, and guess what? And then you get in this process, and then you start to actually figure out who you are.
Yeah.
And then you find out things that you like to do. And then you find out what's important to you. And then you start prioritizing. And
those things may not be important to the person you were using with, or the person that wasn't using while you were using. You know, you were a different person. You were the shell of a person, or the scumbag shell of the person you were. So like, when you come through this, like it sometimes is hard. I mean,
and sometimes there's such ugly things that happen.
Yeah.
When you're together with somebody in active addiction. So some really ugly things can happen, that resentments or things like that build up too, that you literally are like, okay, I just need to like get out of this because I'm miserable. I'm not in love with you. There are things like that happen, or it's like, because I'm growing this way and you're not, you know, I'm not even attracted to you anymore. Mm-hmm. Like things like that happen. I mean,
so the other side of the question is, what do I say to them? So that's like big. I mean, okay.
So now
with the marriage counselor kind of the breakup line, 1-800-BREAKUP.
So if they're both in recovery, then, you know, I feel like it's important to sit down and always be honest. You don't want to be leading people on, and you don't want to be hurting people, because when we were out there and we were using, we hurt enough people.
Just tear the Band-Aid off quick.
Yeah. So there's no need to like keep hurting people. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say mean and hurtful things. You don't have to, you know, none of that. You could just sit down and be an adult, because you're grown, and that. And if the person's not in recovery with you, then it is almost, you know, I want to say simpler, because it's like, hey, I'm doing this. You're not doing this.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay over here. We're done. Because again, it comes back to that people, places, and things.
Yeah.
Because that's really, really difficult, especially early on in recovery, to sit and watch somebody who is using, and especially someone that you ran with,
yeah,
and to sit there and be a part of but not be involved in, mm-hmm, is really difficult to do.
Just be truthful. Like, you know, we don't have to lie anymore. So be an adult and tell the truth and get it over with. Don't prolong the process.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's going to drag. That's going to hurt them longer in the long run. It's going to hurt you longer in the long run. Just get it over with. And
the cool thing, too, like about that with the relationships is like all of the relationships that start coming back. I know someone had said about, you know, how do you start gaining relationships back? Well, it takes time. You know, I don't know. Figure out how long you used for. So however many years that looks like for you, let's just say it's 10 years. So for 10 years, you were destroying the relationships. So it could take you that long to rebuild them.
Yeah.
It might not, but I'm just throwing that out there because, you know, we come in here and then we want everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but we lost everything. And patience, how many times do we do that? And how many times have people, you know, myself included, said, this is it. This is the last time. I ain't doing this no more. Right. And then you continue to do it and continue to do it. And you let people down so many times. And then you get 30 days clean. And you're like, look, I want to come home. I want this. I expect everyone to treat me with respect. It does not work like that.
Stop it.
It does not work like that. You know, you have to like just do what you're supposed to do. And when people see it, you'll start building back some type of relationships.
Yeah.
You know, it comes. It's definitely one of the bigger blessings of this program, relationship back with family,
yeah,
loved ones,
yeah,
just any of that. And then you start to build relationships with friends who are actual friends, mm-hmm, that you're like, oh my goodness.
I don't have to impress you. I don't, yeah, you know what I mean? I don't have to
y'all
lie
don't
to you.
Care.
Yeah.
Y'all don't care what I have and what I don't have, right, because most of us, when we get in this process, we come in and we're completely broken, mm-hmm, and we're completely damaged and we're bruised. And, you know, we don't even know exactly what we're looking for. We just know that we need something. Mm. So like we sit in this process long enough and things start to happen.
Yeah.
So like, but thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God. Let me see what you got. Any other questions over there? I'm looking on here.
I have a question. So they said, we talked about 12-step programs. Where would the people find, a 12-step program to go to? How would they go about that if they've never been?
So I know that there are resources online. I know for, just for, you know, for NA, I know that there's an app.
Yeah.
The NA meeting.org.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You just.
You Neo Asna.
Yeah. You can go on Facebook.
Yep.
You can look that up. I know that there's.
You go on Facebook and just put in the search bar AA or NA meetings, yeah, and literally they all come up.
Yeah.
It's
or
that
HA
easy.
Or
you
whatever.
Can go online.
Yeah. CA. I mean, whatever it is that
whatever it is you're looking for. Yeah.
The only issue now is so many places are closed down.
Right.
And so, you know.
Zoom.
And I know that, like, I know that it sucks.
Yeah.
Because places are closed down. And I also know that COVID is real. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, that is going on. But I feel like people need to be able to walk in and be around people,
right,
and feel love,
yeah,
and hear stories of hope and inspiration and, you know, feel like relatable.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I know that that's important, but there also is Zoom, which did, one of the good things that came out of this, was the Zoom meetings. So yeah, if you don't know how to get on those, you could type that in too, in the search bar. And I mean, there are tons of groups on Facebook, so you can hit a meeting over in California and then you can hit one in Florida.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And so it's like, you get an opportunity to meet a ton of different people that you weren't going to meet if this pandemic wasn't going on.
Yeah.
So that's like the only thing that I see as a positive. And I think it's pretty cool because I've connected with some people who,
well, this pandemic is called it caused an epidemic with overdose.
Oh, for sure.
It was on the news the other day. We're at an all-time high in Ohio for overdoses.
Very scary.
That's just wild. I mean, because maybe it is because we can't meet person to person there for a long time. And people
fell off. For an addict, isolation is like death.
Yeah.
Right. So
we all want to isolate when we're using. So,
right.
straight up, you have to isolate now and you're an addict. It's
so,
like,
so yes. When you're isolating, because it's like a mental, it's mental. So now you're isolating. So you're by yourself, and depending on how loud your disease is talking to you, but the longer that you sit there by yourself, the louder it gets. So we're talking about, this has been going on for a year now. Mm-hmm. So some people have just been isolating for that long. I mean, people are dying at alarming rates right now.
Yes.
People are, you know, going back out that were once a part of. I mean, it is so sad. It's so sad because that's the truth. Like people don't know, like when they're at home, if they don't have no one to reach out to, they're reaching out to the dope man.
Right.
You know, that's who they're reaching out to. They don't, if they don't have anybody. That's why I said I feel terrible for people who are just coming in new in this process, and things are shut down, and it's not like it used to be. And hopefully we get back to that. I don't know when it's going to happen. You know, I'm not really sure, but what I do love is how the recovery night is.
Yeah.
Because it's, and I, you know, it's like, dude, people show up, everybody's hype. Everybody's, you know, ready to go.
Yeah.
They're playing the guitars. I mean, we are screaming.
We got a band there. It's great.
And
it really
is. And it's super hype. And that's like, that's what people need. They need to see that, like, recovery's fun.
Because we do recover.
Yes. I mean,
yeah. We have any more callers on?
No. No, we don't have any more callers. Let me see on here. What would you say was, like, the hardest thing coming into this process? One of the hardest things that you had to, like, let go of?
For me, I had to literally let go of everything. I literally did, because everything I was around, everything I surrounded myself with, everything that I was dabbling in, everything I was doing, period, was just all bad.
Yeah.
I mean, all bad. So, I literally had to drop everything I was doing. And you talk about, to get something you never had, you got to do something you never done. So I had to do things I had never done before in order to get this, right?
Yeah.
And that really stuck with me. So, like, I went through this and I started doing things I've never done before, like reaching out. I started admitting my wrongs. You know what I mean? I stopped lying. Was a huge part. I was a habitual liar.
Did
I'd
you
lie,
just
about,
lie
everything.
About everything.
Yeah.
Someone would be like, it's raining out. And you're like, absolutely not. And you're standing there soaking wet.
Right.
You just lie for no reason.
So bad. And once I started being truthful, I didn't lie to myself. I didn't lie to other people. Like, my life just started becoming better. And it was simple as that. Like, the fruits blossom, you know what I mean? Like, it was awesome. It was great. In that process, I had to change everything that was going on about my life. It wasn't like you've said it several times. My rock bottom was rock bottom, but I grabbed the shovel and kept digging.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it was bad. It was all bad.
Why do you stay in this process?
Because I'm in the no matter what club. No matter what happens in my life, I'm never going to use again. So that's why I'm going to stay in this process. So if I'm in that club, I'm never going to use again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the relationships I have today because of the process, the relationship I have with God, the relationship I have with you. I mean, like, the relationships, the true relationships I have, I would never want to ruin. I would never want to take the chance to ruin them again or ruin ones that I just created.
Yeah. Man. What's name three things that you're grateful for?
I'm grateful for God. I'm grateful for my recovery. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for my baby. I'm grateful for my family, my
come
twin
on,
brother living next
on.
Door. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the support group I have today. I'm grateful for my job. I can't just name three. Like, I am grateful, period, for everything like this happened in my life. And that's all the time we have today.
Okay.
I'll get to ask you these questions next time. Next week we have, the CEO of Teen Challenge coming in, the Dalton Teen Challenge. He's coming in. My wife and I are going to interview him about his story of experience, strength, and hope, and his struggles he went through. Thank you for joining in today. We will be on next Tuesday at 5:00. Make sure you tune in, call in, ask questions, and I want to thank my co-host over here.
Yeah, and you're welcome for the sound effects.
Yeah, get it, girl.
Yeah. All
right.
Thanks, guys.
We love you guys, and we do recover.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.